Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series on life to the full based on John 10:10, and I'm joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa. Jose, welcome back to the podcast.
Good to be here.
Good to have you. And we're joined by the one and only pastor of spiritual formation, Bob Moss. Bob, welcome back to the podcast.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
I'm excited to hear from both of you. Jose, I want to start with you as we usually do, leading up to this Sunday and just what God taught you in the prep behind the scenes, leading up to the message we talked about.
We had a clinic put on the week prior with Kelly Danfus, president of Texas State University, Dr. Kelly Danfus, and the way that he lives is full of joy, he and Beth both. And so that is something I think we often miss in our faith, is the significance of joy, presence of God's joy in our life, especially when times are tough, because it may seem like an oxymoron. I shouldn't be joyful because of these hard things that are happening. But over and over and over in Scripture, rejoice always. Rejoice in your sufferings. And so anyway, all that to say, Tuesday morning, I'm sitting at staff meeting and Bob and I are talking. And Bob, you say something that really blessed me, that rejoice means to refuel in our joy, and how it's just choosing joy over and over and over versus maybe allowing joy to be the consequence of an event or anything. We can choose joy in hard times.
That's right.
And looking at, you know, these two passages that we looked at, first in Nehemiah, second in Philippians 4, it's all there.
Amen.
It's all there.
Amen.
So my hope is that we would be a joyful people, that Cypress Creek Church would be filled with joy, that when people saw, you know, oh yeah, when people see us out there and they say, hey, tell me about yourself, and they hear Cypress Creek Church, I hope that they're like, man, you are just like that other person that is full of joy, not obnoxious happiness, you know, but true joy, this peace and hope that we have.
Yeah, Bob, I'd love to hear if you have a little bit more on that rejoice piece. I wasn't part of that conversation, so that's cool to hear.
Well, rejoicing is a verb. Joy is the noun. And in one story about Jesus, where he sent out the disciples to have power, he gave them power over all the enemy, and they came back and they were rejoicing because they had power over the enemy. And Jesus said to them, don't rejoice because you have power over the enemy. Rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. And the reason he said that is because God allows us to be tested, and there are times when it looks like the devil has the upper hand in our lives, but he never, ever has the upper hand. And so we have something to rejoice in always, and that is who we are in Jesus Christ because of his redemptive work at Calvary.
Yeah.
I've asked you this multiple times on the podcast, Bob, but you have gone through a lot of hard times, dark times in your life. And so just thinking about that very truth that you shared, I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on just how we remind ourselves of our identity in Christ in the midst of hardship. I know that was a common theme throughout the message on Sunday, was this idea that, you know, we can sit on a Sunday and hear a message about joy and go, yeah, I feel pretty good right now. I got my coffee, or my kids are in class.
Or I'm doing pretty good.
Right.
Things are great. I don't have chaos in my life. I'm not very sinful right now.
Right, right. But to your point, Bob, there's a time where that's not always the case. And so how do we continue to remind ourselves of that identity that you're just talking about?
Well, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is what we feel when everything's going great. And it's just a natural that it's a feeling that everybody has when everything's going good. Joy is our strength. Mm-hmm. Joy comes from a deep-seated faith in God, in who he is, first of all, and who we are in him. Who we are in ourselves is nothing to be joyful over, because we ourselves, we in our ego, have nothing to offer God. And yet, because of redemption, God receives us just like we are, because he knows every weakness we have and he still loves us. But when we have that joy isn't dependent on circumstances. That joy is a reality that we know because we have been tried and tested by fire.
I love the story in Nehemiah where they first are very disappointed. They're mourning and they're weeping because of the reality of the state of their heart. They know that they're no different than their ancestors, that they're going to go down the same road, that they're, you know, they just had this consequence of exile, the ultimate punishment, where people were sent out from their homeland, out into the exile, and now they're returning thinking, well, now everything's going to change. And here they are faced with the reality that, no, actually, your sin is going to lead you to foreign places, separated from God and his love and his plan. And they go from mourning and weeping to rejoicing. Mm-hmm. And this verse really is the bridge. Do not mourn or weep, for the joy of the Lord,
amen,
is your strength, meaning that God's not going to give up on us.
That's right.
Even when
That's
we fail, right. He's our strength, not man's strength. So just very personally, it's been convicting how often I really do rely on my optimism or my strength to have joy in a given circumstance, good or bad, and to really dial in, okay, God, am I rejoicing because my name is written in the book of life? Or am I rejoicing because I did a pretty good job?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I accomplished some things.
Yeah.
So the key is to continually rejoice, to your point, Bob, because of what Jesus has done for us, because
Amen.
Of who he is, because of the way that he's made a way. He's faithful.
Yeah.
I think about not only in the Old Testament, but even you look at just the model that the disciples had in the early church, but this idea of reflecting on God's goodness, where God has come through and seeing that. And I think almost a direct opposite of that is the busyness of life, because I can think of just personal moments where when I slow down and I intentionally am trying to think about, even just in community group, if there's a question like, hey, how did you see God's promises show up this week? It's forcing me to start to reflect on that. But my natural instinct is just to kind of go, go, go. And I think similar to the Israelites or just other people we read about in the Old Testament particularly, there's these moments where they are so, whether they're in exile and they're you know, begrudgingly just kind of walking around looking where you know, wondering where God's at, and there's a lack of that recognition of what God is doing and remembrance of what he's doing. So I'd love to hear, just Bob, starting with you, just this idea, I know it's the original question, Jose, that you had asked about, is my life full or am I fully living? But how does busyness play into this idea of remembering God's goodness, remembering how he's shown up in our lives and be able to recognize his promises?
Well, busyness is okay as long as it's the Lord's business. It's when we get into our business that is a distraction
yeah.
from the Lord
yeah.
that we have trouble. And Peter said, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that is going to try you as though it were some strange thing happening to you, but rejoice and be glad, because when his glory is revealed, you also will be glad with exceeding joy.
Wow.
Now, he was not saying that you're going to have that joy during the trial so much as
it's going to bear
the
fruit.
Rejoicing being the verb that yeah. it is. Means that even in the face of the worst situation, we can rejoice in the Lord. When we rejoice in the Lord, something, it's like priming the pump.
Hmm.
It really is. It's, it is like being strengthened with an invisible force that
yeah.
comes from heaven.
Yeah, I've never been tested in the way that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to Peter here. As Peter writes in his letter, because they were persecuted to the point of death. I mean, we're talking about exile here in the world. And to your question, Taylor, yeah, there is busyness that is concerning my desires and my wants, and then there's busyness concerning what God wants and what God wants to accomplish, the Lord's business, as you just said, Bob. That was really good. And it's the Lord's business that fills us with joy.
Amen.
And there will be trials. There will be moments where we feel, man, I'm not going to be looked at the same. I had a conversation with some old friends this last week where we were talking about judgment, and Christians are, you know, historically and in our culture seen as those that judge. And it's true. We sometimes judge and condemn, and we need to stop that. We need to have compassion and release people, etc. But the opposite is true. The culture judges Christians a lot. And it's that Peter is speaking to, and it's that we need to rejoice. This whole point in Philippians 4, let your gentleness be evident to all.
That's right.
Not just those that agree with you, that will lift up holy hands and sing hallelujah, you know, but those that hate you, those that want Jesus to not be Lord of their life, of our community, of the world. We need to be gentle and treat them with love and kindness. I think of Stephen being martyred in Acts. He's being stoned, and he's looking up, and he asks, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Mm-hmm. That's gentleness. That's this godly joy in the midst of an incredibly hard trial.
Jesus himself was gentle and lowly at heart, and yet I think about, you know, sometimes even as believers, we can wrestle with what does that actually look like, because it's not passive, it's not, just, you know, laziness. And so, Bob, I feel like you've modeled this really well, where if people get to know you in this season, they can see just how settled you are and how at peace you are, but God is using you, and God is actually at work and has used you through your life in ministry and just in many different seasons. And so how do we, you know, kind of compare those two aspects of defining, okay, what does gentleness look like in a busy world, in a world with all kinds of ambition and just everything from the professional world to the personal world? How would y'all just help those listening define that? What does that actually look like to be gentle and lowly?
Well, gentleness is the opposite of anger. When we get angry, we're not gentle. We're not pleased that something's not going the way we want it to.
Yeah, passive aggressiveness is also not gentle.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And you can be gentle for quite a bit of time, but then let something irritate you, and if your anger from the flesh rises up, it may only last for a moment, but it's enough to scare the people that you are associated with, because when they see that, it's not a healthy thing. It's, you know, we don't want people to be afraid of us. We want people to respond to us. And the only way we can do that is to be gentle with them. Being judgmental is not gentleness. It's condemning people, and it's... And people know it.
Yeah.
People know it. So we just have to, practice it. That's...
Yeah, and the second word there, lowly, is translated in other translations as humble.
Yeah.
And when you place yourself second and place that other person above you, that helps me be gentle.
Yeah.
Because I am now submitting myself under that person, desiring the best for that person first.
That's right.
before myself. Very difficult to do when that person is not necessarily your best friend,
yeah,
or the one that wants best for you. But it does activate joy, because it takes the pressure off
of being
right. And I think that's the other piece from this message that I, you know, looking back, wish I could have done a more, like, there's two ways that we can see our walks with Jesus. One is, I want to be as holy. I want to be as, you know, perfect. I want to strive in righteousness. And Jesus said, be perfect as I am perfect.
Yeah.
Be holy. So strive for that pure lifestyle. But if we go too far down that road, we, in our humanness, have to combat the desire to be better and more holy and more right. And so then we have to battle judgment, and we have to battle other things. This joy is what unlocks the antidote. You release yourself. I release myself. I can think of various conversations with people, relationships with people that I've been working for years and counseling other areas so that I don't have to be the everything for that person. It's not my job to fix anybody.
Amen.
I can just love that person right where they are and leave the results up to God. And it's that rightness that robs me of joy in those relationships. So what Jesus is saying is, yes, be gentle and be humble. Just place yourself under. Allow me to be God. Allow me to convict. Allow me to condemn. Allow me to, do what only He can do. That's God saying. My job is just to abide and love and
right.
Be gentle.
And what you were describing there about the lowly, you know, along with gentleness, Jesus only gave one description of His character,
yeah.
And that is, I think it's Matthew 11.
Matthew 11.
He says, where He said, I am meek and gentle in heart or lowly in heart. And what He's saying there is in agreement with what Paul said, or Paul was in agreement with Jesus. He said, Jesus made Himself nothing. And so in our relationships, we can't fix anybody.
Take that same mindset.
We have to take that same mindset, but the only way we can get there is surrender. And that's what Jesus did. He surrendered continually to His Father's will. So you were talking about how we're, you know, when we get around people that we have a problem with,
mm-hmm.
you know, or we have tension.
Yeah.
We not only need to surrender ourselves, but we need to surrender them.
Yeah.
Even in our relationships.
Yeah.
And surrender circumstances, surrender things, surrender everything. And that's when we feel that peace. That's when we have that joy.
And recognize God's grace for us
right.
in our life. And that is so hard. I was thinking about this last night in community group as we were talking, just the story of the prodigal son and the party that's thrown at the end. And for those who know me, I love to celebrate and just it's always fun to be at parties. And yet I can so often be like the older son that is jealous, that is bitter, that's judging. And he was not enjoying the party and instead was thinking about, you know, why they were going through all this, killing the fattened calf and all of these things that he felt like were an injustice or the brother didn't deserve. And so in that same way, it's like if I'm not reflecting on God's grace in my life and not remembering that, then I'm going to be quick to judge others as well. And my joy goes away instantly on that.
Yeah.
Another area that I feel like if we were to poll people and ask, hey, what's withholding your joy or what's keeping you back? Worry is going to be a big mm-hmm. piece in this. Mm-hmm. And so I think not just in the judgment or worries of others, but just worries of our circumstances. And I know we've talked about this before on the podcast, Bob. I know I've looked to you in a lot of ways just for wisdom on combating worriedness. And I think for some that feel like professional worriers, what is the hope, the encouragement, just even the role of community when it comes to addressing worriedness?
Well, worry is just a lack of trust in God. We worry because we're concerned about our future. We're concerned. And of all the people in the world who should have hope and have an optimistic outlook on their future, we are the ones yeah. who have the hope in Jesus Christ. And so what is this? It's symbolic of the fact that we're focused on material things, not on spiritual things. We don't have the mindset to think on things above, but we're thinking about earthly things. And it's not wrong to be concerned about something, but it is wrong to worry about it and be anxious about it. Because when we are worrying and anxious, our confidence is in the flesh, not in the Lord.
Yeah, our strength is in man, not in God. Therefore, we're robbed of joy.
That's
the
right.
joy of the Lord
exactly.
is not our strength. The joy of our own strength is what's leading us and disappoints us. Thankfully, it's by God's grace
yeah.
that we fall. Seriously, because He's reminding us, you need me. And that's where we get the antidote in Philippians 4. Pray. Lift it up to God. So if you are worried, just lift it up in prayer, ask somebody to pray for you, with you, and then that other part with thanksgiving. So if we're doing it, if I'm praying with thanksgiving, I shared this morning with Taylor, one of the things that I woke up and I was starting to get worried, and then I preached on Sunday, and so I'm all right. Replace worry with gratitude. And so I'm thinking, what am I grateful
amen.
For?
Amen.
And it just hit me. 6 years, our church has been giving devotionals daily, and we've been, different people on the staff have committed to writing these and blessing. So we've been keeping this up for 6 years. And the reason why I'm bringing that here in the podcast is because, Bob, you inspired that. When you came on staff, you started, when did you start doing daily devotionals?
It was about 15 years
ago. There you go.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking, what a gift it would be for our church to have a daily devotional in people's inbox. And you were priming the pump. You were the one that paved the way. And so I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for your obedience, your consistency. And again, if we practice gratitude and we have eyes to see the blessings all around us because they're there, then that's going to alleviate the worry, remind us that God really is with us.
Yeah. Well, I'm reminded of something I heard somebody say just recently, that God turns worriers into warriors.
Ooh.
And
that'll
I thought
preach.
About, and so right away, I thought about Jesus. You know, Jesus, we don't think of Jesus as being a warrior, but he was the ultimate
absolutely.
Warrior.
Yeah.
Because he kept his eyes on the Lord, and he was confident. A warrior isn't worried about his life or death. And that's what it tells us in Revelation. They overcome the enemy because of the word of their testimony.
And the blood of the Lamb.
The blood of the Lamb. And they don't consider their lives something to be...
Interesting.
Rescued.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And even in Hebrews, it says, talking about the believers, it says they were rejoicing when their property was confiscated.
Mm.
You know, I thought about that. You know, I mean, a government coming in and confiscating your property would make me really angry. You know, I mean, we talk about politics and we talk about the things that Christians get upset with. Listen, when it says that, that's superhuman. That's a
radical.
Warrior. That's a warrior's perspective who has a mindset on the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Wow.
The joy of the Lord is their strength.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord is their strength.
Bob, I want to close by asking a personal question, putting you on the spot here, but do you still worry? Do you have times where you experience worry? Because I feel like some people listening, they're like, there's no way. Bob's got it all figured out. I'm sure there's no way. So when you are, if I won't assume, but if you face worry, what are those go-to, just practical things that you, at this stage in life, that you go to?
Gratitude. When I have a knee-jerk reaction, you know, something comes along, and right away I think negative scenario. As soon as I'm thinking anything negative, anything, it's like the attitude indicator on an airplane. Hmm. It's letting me know, you're going down, Bob. You're going down. You better get the right attitude. And what is the right attitude?
The right altitude.
Well, the right attitude is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you said it, gratitude. Yeah. When you got up this morning and you started worrying, you start being grateful, all of a sudden the worry just...
Gratitude is altitude. There it is.
Yeah,
there you go. It had to come together. One other thing that we didn't talk about, I know you were saying you were closing, Taylor, but I do want to add this. I'll say I am in awe. I think it's something that is underestimated. We need, anyway, here it is. It's the way that God looks at us and his delight in us. Amen. And this idea of delighting, meaning bending over. But when you bend over and incline towards, you're doing that because you're watching, you're looking over. And too often we think that God looks over us with disappointment, that God looks over us as in, you need to get it right. You need to do this and that. But when we face the reality that Jesus bends over us, the Father is looking over us, the Holy Spirit is with us,
amen,
delighting in us because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. That's the only
way to
be seen by God with delight. But man, that fills me with joy, and that is so hard to do. I would much rather you guys tell me how great of a job I did on X, Y, or Z. But I have a God who sees me, and he delights in me, and he approves of me before I ever do anything. That's radical. And that is what fuels us with joy in a way that no other person, no other spouse, no other child, no other relationship this side of heaven can fill us with. And that's where our joy comes from. Amen. So I wanted to add that on the podcast because we didn't have enough time to hit that on Sunday. Any other thoughts, guys?
Yeah, that was great.
All right, great conversation. Looking forward to the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.